Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, welcome to another edition of Sports Urban Legend. Along with my co-host Macaulay Matthew, I'm of course William Ramo. What's up, Mac? How you doing?
Hey, what's up? How's it going out there?
Nothing much, man. You know, we're gonna, you know, what we do on this show, we talk sports, entertainment, everything else. We're gonna tip off with a little NBA basketball preview. You know, game two coming later tonight, and the rest of the series. We'll also talk about what's going on with the Mets and the Yankees, and unfortunately even the Mr. Met saga that happened a few days ago. And I know we gotta get into this. That's how bad the Met season is going. We're gonna dive into that also, and of course talk WWE, the latest what's going on WWE news, including the Extreme Rules predictions, Enzo Amore being attacked, who we think is the mystery attacker, and you know, so much more. But of course, as always, you know, thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for listening to the latest episode of Sports and Legend. Of course, I'm William Ramo, and of course, Macaulay is always here. And with that, let's just talk about this NBA Finals, man. And Game 1, it wasn't even close. I mean, the Warriors, right now, man, they're on a path, man. They won 13 straight in the season, which no team has ever done that. They're three wins away from, you know, from sweeping this NBA Finals. I mean, the whole playoffs. But, you know, the Cavaliers, you know, I expect them to come back later tonight and even up this series, you know. But what happened? I mean, the Warriors put a whooping on them. Then what was the final score? 114 to, like, 91?
Yeah.
It was like a beatdown.
Man, that should have – that game should have been worse than it actually was, because Warriors early on looked rusty. They missed a lot of open shots. You know, I thought they should have won that game by at least 30 or 40 points. You know, they got in the lane whenever they wanted to. You know, they were passing the ball beautifully. I mean, the way they pass the ball is like poetry almost. You know, and
literally.
Yeah, you know, they got a lot of easy shots. You know, Durant was having his way with the Cavs. He scored 38 points. You know, it looked like,
yep,
you know, he was making it look easy out there. And Curry, you know, was scoring and passing the ball. He ended up finishing the game with, I think, what, 28 points and 10 assists. So overall, I mean, the Warriors, I don't even think the Warriors played their best game, and they still ended up winning by 21 points. So they could even play better in game two, I think.
Absolutely. And, you know, they're going to be at home still. So, you know, you know the Warriors, you know, they're going to defend that home court like nobody's business right there. But, you know, the Cavs, man, you know, there's a gut check time, man. They got to bounce. They definitely got to bounce back. I mean, obviously, you know, they're going to go home after tonight. But, you know, You gotta go back home, you know, feeling good.
Yeah.
You know, at least splitting this three. You know, but you know the Warriors, man, they put a beat down on them, like they stole something. Oh wait, the Cavs did the championship last, because if you remember the Cavs were down 3-1 and they won three straight to win their first ever championship.
Yeah.
So Warriors look like they're on a path to redemption, but tonight might be a different story. We're going to see what happens.
Well, you know, the good thing for the Warriors is, you know, it's the good thing for the Cavs, I should say, is that, you know, I don't see them playing, you know, the same way they did in game one. You know, LeBron had 8 turnovers in game one. I don't see him repeating that in game two. And the Cavs could look at the fact that, you know, last year the Warriors won the first 2 games at home by blowouts. And, you know, the Warriors repeat the same thing in game one. So maybe, you know, it can turn out the same way it did last year where Cavs come back and win it when they're down. But, you know, they can't expect the same results this year again because, you know, this Warriors team is much better. They have Kevin Durant, and they're playing much better defense, you know, now. Klay Thompson looks like Gary Payton out there, you know, playing some of the best defense that he's ever played. So I don't know if Cavs have enough firepower to stop the Warriors. You know, before the series, I picked the Warriors in 6, but after watching that game, I might have to pick Warriors in 5, you know, the way they're playing.
Yeah. I know. I picked the Cavs in 7, you know. Even though Warriors, you know, they do have the advantage, you know, roster-wise, you know. They got a more balanced attack, you know, whereas, you know, the Cavaliers, you know, they got obviously James and Irving, you know, to name a few. But they got some talented guys. But you know, the Warriors, man, they're just a deep team. And that was even before they got Durant. But
yeah.
You know, I was thinking, you know, the LeBron factor, him being in 7 straight NBA Finals, obviously winning 3 of them, you know. He has that experience. And obviously he faced the Cavaliers 3 times.
Yeah.
I mean the Warriors, I should say. So, you know, they got that. They both split this bout. You know, obviously Warriors won you know, their first championship 2 years ago. Cleveland won last year, first time ever. So both teams, you know, they both traded their first ever NBA championships back to back. So now this is going to be the rubber match. This is going to be the thrill of Manila, if you want to compare the Frazier-Ali feud of the 70s. So, I mean, this is what it's becoming. You know, this is what NBA wanted. I mean, we all knew once July 4th last year, once we heard Durant signed with the Warriors, we knew this would be the matchup. We knew the three-peat would be coming between these two franchises, the two premier teams of the NBA right now, going head-to-head yet again. The Star Wars, if you will. You got on one side, you got Durant, you got Curry, Thompson, and then on the other side, you got James, you got Irving, Love. I mean, it's you know, it's a great matchup.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I wish the Knicks was in this mix, but that's another story for another time. When they actually get to the draft in a few weeks, but yeah, man. So far, your pick is looking good, and I'm hoping I'm wrong. I'm hoping Warriors could put the boom on them, but I don't think the Cavs are going down without a fight. And unfortunately, because of the scheduling, you know, we would have been talking about game 2. We still have that uncertainty because the NBA, man, they just want to milk the NBA Finals. Ever since it's been on ABC, they've been stretching out these games. Every NBA final game is like two or three days apart.
Mm-hmm.
There's like it seems like there's no rhyme or reason.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
The rhythm.
I just wish it was back to the old school days. You know, 2-3-2. You know, like when it used to be on NBC. You know, you have the 2 games back to back. You have a day off for obviously traveling to the different cities. You play the 3 games. You know, the team without the home field advantage plays 3 to try to get that advantage of potentially winning all three games at their home, and then afterwards, the team with the better record has the two chances to close out their series at their home. At their home, but now it's 2-2, 1-1-1. You know, if it goes the distance like it did last year.
Right.
But you know, it is what it is. It's the sign of the times. Just
yeah.
like the Super Bowl used to be, you know, the Super Bowl used to be back to back after the AFC you know, and NFC, the conference final, the conference final games. Then you know they have to have this 2 week period so that they could hype up the Super Bowl. So they're going straight into it, but you know, it's all about marketing. But it's like, you know, to me personally, it's like them separating the games, like two or three games. It takes the air out of the whole series. We should have been talking about game two right now, but right now we're still talking about game one.
Yeah, well, game two is going to be later tonight, and it's hopefully it's much more competitive than it was in game one, because after, you know, come the second half, you know, it was all Warriors. So hopefully we have a more competitive game tonight.
So in other words, you're saying Warriors came out to play.
Yeah, for game one, definitely. So Cavs need to step up their game in the second game.
Absolutely. No doubt about that. And I think Cavs will. I hope not, because I'm rooting for the Warriors. Even though I don't have a fight in the game because I'm a Knicks fan, but you know how it is.
Yeah.
I adopted the Warriors as my surrogate team since the Knicks, they can't – if the playoffs was a water and the Knicks were on the boat, they still wouldn't reach the water. They still wouldn't hit the water if they fell off the boat. That's how bad the Knicks have been, man. But that's another story for another time. We could literally spend a whole day talking about how bad the Knicks season is, most notably with the Charles Oakley saga that's still not going away. But you know, it is what it is.
Yeah.
But shifting gears, yeah, let's talk about from one of my favorite teams to another, and it's the New York Mets. Thankfully, they won late last night. Final score, I think it was. Trying to think in my head, I think it was 4-2. You know, three Mets homered, continuing his great season, hit 13 home runs. Really glad now that Alderson didn't train him in the off season. He's doing great. Conforto didn't homer, but he's doing well, even though hopefully he'll be riding into the All-Star game or selected by the coaches in the NL. But the three guys who homered today, or I should say late last night, was Flores with his fifth home run, Bruce, and Neil Walker, who's heating it up against his former team, the Pirates, the team he grew up rooting for. And like I was mentioning last week, his father also played with the Pirates during the Roberto Clemente days. So last year when he faced his former team, you know, the team he grew up rooting for, you know, he didn't do good. A year under his belt as a Met, you know, he's really crushing his former team now. And that was evident with his home run today. Robert Jesselman, he pitched a brilliant game, got back to his winning ways. Yesterday, Matt Harvey was horrible. You know, we gave Harvey some leads, most notably a 7-4 lead. He gave that one up, kept giving up home runs left and right. And then Sewald, I mean, my goodness, he was just brutal on Friday night, and the Mets lost that game like 12-7. And yeah, man, the way how the Mets were luckily for tonight, or I should say, for, you know, Saturday night, they were able to snap their three-game losing streak because the way how stuff is going bad for the Mets on and off the field, man, they don't just need laid hands. They need an exorcist because it's really getting bad. You know how bad it is? When lovable, beloved Mr. Met is flipping the fans the bird, the middle finger, you know the season's bad. Let me put into perspective for people who are not familiar with Mr. Met. Mr. Met is the Mets mascot since 1964 when they moved to Shea Stadium. And basically, Mr. Met is such a lovable character. He has a human body wearing a Mets uniform, but he has a giant, humongous baseball head. Yes, folks. His head is shaped like a baseball. I'm sure a lot of you guys, people who are listening, are sports fans, so you know that. But just for the few people who aren't sports fans who are tuning in, yes, Mr. Met has a huge, giant baseball head. And he's always kind and sweet and, you know, high-fiving the fans, shooting, you know, T-shirt guns and, you know, just, you know, the optimistic – he symbolizes the optimistic Met fan. No matter win or lose, he's always cheerful. But not a few days ago, apparently the Mets was losing 7-1. Fans were heckling him. And he whoever was underneath the suit, because yes, I'm admitting it, folks. Cover your children's ears. There is a person underneath that suit. He got PO'd, and he bent all four of his three of the four fingers that he have to reveal the middle finger, which we didn't even know Mr. Met had that.
That's funny.
And apparently, they hired this guy like 2 years ago because the guy who used to do it most recently was doing it from 2000 to 2015. So his first, the other guy who his predecessor was there the last two times that the Mets went and lost to the World Series. I won't mention the teams. 2000, of course, I know Mac is familiar being a Yankee fan.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, for the Kansas City Royal fans 2 years ago, I'm pretty sure you guys know who beat the Mets in an embarrassing fashion 2 years ago. But yeah, what made him upset was that he didn't get a NLCS ring, you know, after he left the organization. So apparently this new guy who was doing it these past 2 years, and clearly he did not pass the test of the typical predecessor Mets, you know, thick-skinned people underneath the suit, because Mr. Met would never do something like that. He's literally a family man. He has Mrs. Met, who looks just like him, except she has lipstick. She's basically the equivalent of Minnie Mouse. Yeah. And he has little Met children who occasionally pop up. But, yeah, I mean, it's really shocking to see Mr. Met lose his cool and flip the bird. What's your thought on this? Being a Yankee fan.
Well, when I saw that, I was like, what the hell is going on? You know? I mean, then, you know, well, you know, the fans shouldn't be heckling any staff that works for any baseball organization. That's number one. I mean, fans shouldn't do that. It's wrong. But, I mean, as a staff member, or if you work for an organization, you should be professional about it, and, you know, you shouldn't throw a fan the finger, especially when you have cell phones now, where anything that you do is captured on video and uploaded to social media for everyone to see. So you should, you know, the person, that guy that is under that Mr. Met costume should know better. You should know that, you know, what he did was probably going to be seen and uploaded on the social media for everyone to see. But, yeah, he made that mistake of letting the fans get to him. And, you know, now he's probably going to be fired if he hasn't already been fired. But, yeah, I mean, it's a big mistake that he made. But, you know, I could, you know, if I was an employee, a fan is stuck on me, I probably would have did the same thing, to be honest with you. You know, but,
yeah,
you know, you got to be more professional than that, you know.
he got to contain his composure, man. I mean,
yeah,
I understand people criticizing you. I mean, it gets to you. But you're representing the Mets. You're representing Mr. Met. You're representing all the put on the uniform before you. You know what I'm saying?
It's
true. I was wearing a Darth Vader outfit and I'm promoting the newest Star Wars movie and I flip people the bird, they're not going to know it's me that's doing it. They're going to assume it's Darth Vader from, you know, the original Darth Vader from, you know, from A New Hope is flipping them the bird.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, you know what I'm saying? Like, when you're playing the character, you're not being yourself. You're in character, you know what I'm saying? It's kind of like, that whole mentality is kind of like Eugene from The Walking Dead getting death threats because, you know, his character, you'll be, you know, the good guys, and he's, you know, he went on Negan's side, you know what
right.
I'm saying? And obviously fans were PO'd, but it's like, come on, it's a fictional character. It's not the actor. You know what I'm saying? It's not really him doing it. It's just him playing a role.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But it's like, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
But luckily, you know, they got in their winning ways. They're back. You know, they finally the game winning losing streak, and hopefully they can let me see, you know, even up this series.
What's gonna happen
tomorrow.
To what's gonna happen to the Mr. Met guy? Is he fired? Did they let him go or suspended?
I'm gonna have to further investigate that to find out what happened. Because that's not good at all. I don't think they're gonna keep him.
Yeah.
I think he's fired, but I'm gonna check to see. Yeah, he's out.
Yes.
He's out. Yep.
Oh, okay.
And I mean that goes without saying. I mean he deserves it. I mean, you know, I understand you know, you're upset, but you know, I mean the Mets had to release an email saying we apologize for the action of the employee. We do not condone this type of behavior. We are dealing this matter internally, and you know, it's obvious. It was absolutely, you know, what they had to do. I mean, I'm a forgiving person. You know, I believe in giving people second chances, but sometimes, like, there's stuff that you do that it's like, it's what you gonna call it. It's intentional. It's not even an accident. You know, I understand it was the heat of the moment. But you gotta get your head in the game, man. You can't be doing stuff like that.
Yeah, gotta keep your composure.
So I mean, I feel bad that he had to lose his cool like that. But you know, it is what it is, man. You can't be like that. Seriously.
Yeah.
But. Yeah, I think he was with the Yankees. And, yeah, man, Aaron Judge, man, he's making, all season long, he's making a case of, you know, winning that AL Rookie of the Year. What's your thoughts about the Yankees so far?
Well, Aaron Judge, I mean, he's been playing real well. I mean, he's a first Yankee to win Yankee since Don Mattingly, I think, 85, to win back-to-back Rookie of the Month awards, and first rookie to do it early on in the season. So, you know, he's a super rookie right now, and I think he's like second in the American League All-Star vote getting behind Mike Trout. So, you know, Aaron Judge is slowly becoming a big name, not only in New York, but, you know, in baseball in general. So, but he's been, you know, great for us and helping us all season so far. And, you know, right now the Yankees currently sit in first place, 3 games in front of the Red Sox. And we won today. Montgomery had a great game, had his first shutout of his career. Yankees ended up winning 7-0 and had 4 home runs in the 8th inning. We've won 2 out of 3 from the Blue Jays so far, and one more game tomorrow. So hopefully we can win this final game later today.
Absolutely, man. Yeah, the Yankees, you know, they're really doing their thing, you know.
Yeah, they're really good.
Absolutely. And what can you there's nothing else you can really say about that. I mean, the Yankees, they're back where they belong. They're top on the AL East, and they got a young in Judge.
All right.
By storm. And we don't even have to judge him. You know, he's doing the job. You know, he's on the back pages all the time. And he's the judge, jury, and executioner.
Yeah.
And speaking of somebody on the back pages, another slugger, a guy who grew up a Yankee fan. I'm talking about, and in my opinion, a future Yankee, Bryce Harper. Man, he got in a fight. A few days ago, and it wasn't pretty. Basically, Bryce Harper, he was facing the Giants, the San Francisco Giants, and when he got to the plate, the pitcher he hit him. I think the pitcher's name is Hunter. He was at the plate, and basically the guy hit him because 3 years ago in the playoffs, Bryce Harper hit 2 home runs on him, and the second one, you know, he was kind of showboating a bit. So the pitcher, 3 years later, even though the Giants won that series. And eventually the World Series, which is more important, you know, the guy had to hit Bryce Harper. And because as a result, they got into a brawl, and Bryce Harper missed throwing the helmet at him. And, you know, Bryce Harper, I think, got suspended, what was it, like 7 days or something, like 7 games, and the other guy had, like, only 3 games, and you know, and he's a reliever, so it's not like he's gonna pitch all those games, you know
yeah.
what I'm saying?
Exactly.
So the guy didn't really get any, the guy really didn't get any, and the other guy didn't get any, you know, didn't get a suspension really. Yeah, Hunter Strickland is the name of the guy, by the
right,
way,
right? Yep,
and yeah, he really didn't. You know, I understand where he's coming from, Bryce Harper, you know, getting upset and fighting the guy. But Hunter Strickland, man, I mean, come on. It was 3 years ago. I understand it was in the playoffs. He started it, man. He started it. And his suspension should have been a lot worse.
You
I
see
understand
a lot
you,
nowadays.
You know,
you see a lot
ridiculous.
Nowadays. You see pitchers throw at hitters for something that occurred, like, several years ago, like, come on.
Yeah.
Or several
games
ago.
That happened with Guillermo Mota, with Mike Piazza, like, a decade ago. And they had, like, a fight. They were like, spring training. But Guillermo had to run backwards. Piazza was running, you know, running. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's not friendly.
Hey, well, you're breaking up a bit.
Back. Can you hear me?
The connection is really bad right now.
Wow. Can you hear me better now?
Yeah, a bit.
All right. Yeah. Basically, those guys, they hit you in the head and stuff like that. They don't like hit you in the back or, you know, on the leg or anything like that. But yeah, I mean, I think the suspension for Bryce Harper, you know, was a little steep. They should have at least increased the suspension of Hunter Strickland. I understand Bryce Harper shouldn't have charged the mound, you know, and not throw that weak throw of his. But, you know, the Hunter Strickland inside this fight, because just because Bryce Harper hit two home runs against him, obviously they were huge home runs. They were in the postseason. But ultimately, the Giants won the World Series by eliminating the Nationals. So
that's true.
They won. What more do they want? Well, I mean, what more do you want? They won the World Series that year. They had the ultimate revenge. It was just silly, man.
Yeah, it doesn't make any
sense. But moving along, let's talk about the preview, the Elimination Chamber. Who do you think is going to win this tag team match? Sasha Banks and Rick Swann versus Alicia Fox and Norm Dar.
Wow.
Alicia Swann is going to win.
It's later tonight? Already?
Yep.
Wow.
Absolutely.
Man, that came quick.
Yeah, because the brand split. They keep having every pay-per-view every 2 or 3 weeks.
Wasn't Elimination Chamber just in February?
Yeah, but there's Extreme Rules.
Oh, Extreme Rules. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Damn.
I think Sasha Banks is gonna win. Sasha Banks and Rick Swann's gonna win this.
Yeah, it looks like it's gonna be that, because they're like the new. They're giving them a real push right now. Yeah, I'm gonna go with Sasha and Swann.
And then you got the Cruiserweight Championship, Neville versus Austin Aries. I'm thinking Aries is finally going to win this one between them. I know TJ Perkins is going to try to interfere in this match.
Yeah, I could see Aries winning.
But I think Aries is still going to win. Then you got the tag team, Cage, Hardy Boys versus Cesaro. I could see it going either way. But I think maybe Sheamus and Cesaro might win, and then this might lead to a split between the Hardy Boys, and maybe this would be that loss could ignite Matt Hardy to become his broken Matt Hardy gimmick, you know, from TNA and Ring of Honor.
Yeah, this could go either way. But, yeah, I mean, I could see Cesaro and Sheamus winning it. I'm 50-50
yeah.
on this one.
Yeah, me too, absolutely. And then you got the Intercontinental Championship, no championship advantage, Dean Ambrose versus The Miz. And, of course, this one has a no championship advantage, meaning if Dean Ambrose gets disqualified, instead of retaining the title, Miz would win the title. So the advantage is on Miz, even though Miz is the challenger. I think right now WWE is trying to make it seem like Miz won't win it, but usually this would mean Ambrose would win, but I don't know. I think Miz might win it again. But I think Dean Ambrose, there's not much Dean Ambrose could do with the Intercontinental title. I mean, you know, he's a championship level guy, but you know, he's not getting that respect that he deserves. But I think Miz is gonna retain. Miz is gonna get that title.
Yeah, I could see that, but I'm gonna stick with Ambrose winning it.
All right. Women's championship match. for Raw, Alexa Bliss versus Bayley in a candlestick on a pole match. I mean, this is just a ridiculous match. Basically, whoever climbs up the pole can use a candlestick. I mean, it's just a ridiculous match, in my opinion. I don't know. I could see it going either way. I think Alexa Bliss is going to win it. Bayley will probably win it at SummerSlam in like a few months.
Yeah.
All right. Here's the main event. Number one contender match: Roman Reigns versus Finn Balor versus Seth Rollins versus Bray Wyatt versus Samoa Joe. Yeah, this one. I could see it going many different ways. I could see Finn Balor winning it. I could see Roman Reigns. I think it's gonna go down to Finn Balor and Roman Reigns. Probably Roman Reigns is gonna win it. I think Roman Reigns is gonna win it. Finn Balor is gonna be like the guy who's gonna be like the last guy standing with him, you know, battling out to try to determine who's gonna be the winner. And probably Samoa Joe's gonna cost Roman Reigns, you know, probably Finn Balor a shot. And maybe that's gonna start a feud between Finn Balor and Bray and Samoa. Wait, yeah, Finn Balor and Samoa Joe. But I think Roman Reigns is gonna fight Brock Lesnar again. I could be saving it for WrestleMania. I mean, I could see going either way. I see Seth Rollins winning it. I could see Roman Reigns winning or Finn Balor. So this one's really tough for me right here.
This one is very tough. I'm gonna go with Finn Balor.
Maybe you're right. Maybe it is Finn Balor, and then they're gonna say like they're rumored to save the Roman Reigns for WrestleMania.
Yeah.
I guess so. I guess maybe you're right. Maybe it is Finn Balor. I guess so. I guess that's what they'll do.
But yeah, I mean,
any
of these guys could win it. You know, it's pretty much a toss up.
I don't think Bray Wyatt or Samoa Joe is gonna win it yet because they're both villains.
Yeah.
But eventually down the line, Brock Lesnar is gonna defend his title at every pay per view event and just stop these guys in their tracks.
Right.
And then whoever wins this will face Brock Lesnar at the Great Balls of Fire pay-per-view event. I mean, that's just the lamest pay-per-view name of all time. But, you know, we'll talk more about that next week. And we'll talk about, we'll preview what's going on in the, you know, what's the latest going on in the NBA Finals as we, you know, later on. I don't know if I'll be able to do a show next week because, you know, I'm going to be busy, you know. That's going to be my birthday week. I don't know if I'm going to be all over the place. But if I can, I'll definitely try to do a show. Most likely I'll do a show 2 weeks from now, but, you know, I'll keep you guys posted. So I want to thank you, Mac, for coming on the show.
Thank you.
And I want to thank you all, ladies and gentlemen, for listening to another episode of Sports Urban Legend. I'm William Rameau. He's Macaulay Matthew. And I'll see you guys next week. Peace. Thank you.